121, which is the passage that I'm going to be preaching on today in our little series, mini series on the Psalms. So that's on page 622 of your church Bibles. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is on page 1041, and it's Luke 10, verses 1 to 20. Let's stand for the gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' When you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this: the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." But 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, this is the gospel of the Lord. Do please take a seat. And let's turn back to Psalm 121. And let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the maker of heaven and earth. Yet you choose to speak to us. And so we thank you so much for all that you're going to say to us this morning. May we take it and ponder it and put it into practice. Amen. If you are going away on holiday or going on a long journey, what steps do you take to protect yourself, to keep yourself safe? There's a range of things you could do. So you want to be prepared, don't you, for the weather conditions, so you would pack either sun cream and a sun hat, or you'd pack you know, strong waterproofs and an umbrella, depending on, you know, warm clothing, depending on where you're going, so you're protected from the whatever the climate has to throw at you. Generally, if you're holidaying in the UK, you need everything. And if you were going on the journey in your car, you probably do some checks to make sure that your car was in good order, tyres and oil and so on, you know, just so that you're going to get there safely. And you take out insurance, I guess. Many people take out travel insurance. So if something does go wrong, you're compensated for any loss that you incur or anything that happens, untoward. But the precautions that we might take for a journey can't cover every eventuality. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. Psalm 121 is a song about a journey. So it's one of the songs of ascent, which are a section of psalms. They start with Psalm 120, and they go on right the way up to Psalm 134. They're kind of a section which are associated with pilgrimage, and people going as pilgrims, normally up to Jerusalem, and probably one of the great festivals like Passover. And so this is written from the perspective of someone who is going up to Jerusalem. We don't know where they're journeying from, but it seems like they're journeying on foot, as many people would have done at that stage. And it's a risky journey. So the psalmist begins, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" So people have argued about exactly what that means, but one quite plausible suggestion is that actually in hilly areas would be, there'd be lots of places where robbers might be able to hide, there'd be wild animals, there'd be dangers in those areas. And he talks about God not letting his foot slip, because this wouldn't have been a well-made path as we tend to have today. It would have been rutted, it would have been rocky, there would have been lots of places where it would have been hard for the pilgrim to keep his footing. And he doesn't have any protection against the sun, he'd only be able to carry so much water with him, and that would be an issue. And of course at night, darkness could cover all kinds of things that might attack him. And you know, there's no travel insurance back in the days of Psalm 121. So how is this pilgrim going to be protected? How is he going to be safe? Well, the answer is he turns to God. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He trusts in God to protect him on his journey. We're looking today at the God who protects. God who looks after us. And I want to first of all pick out two things from this quite short, it's quite a short psalm, isn't it? But there are two really key things about the protection that the pilgrim expects. First is that he knows that God is powerful. But he is powerful enough to protect him. And so that's why he reminds us, or reminds himself, that God, the Lord God, is the maker of heaven and earth. You can't envisage, can you, more power than that. Power that brought the universe into being. And so the psalmist says, because I know that God made the heavens and the earth, I know therefore that he must be powerful enough to protect me. He made those hills that I'm worried about. He made me. He made everything. He has the power to protect me. Second thing is he knows that God is attentive to protect him. Verse 3, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So the psalmist knows that God is with him always. And there's never a point where his attention isn't on him. And there's never a point where he doesn't know, where God doesn't know where this pilgrim is and what he's doing. You know, there's no chance that God will be distracted or will fall asleep or will simply go and do something else. God's, what we call God's omnipresence, the fact that he's present everywhere, means that he is always with this pilgrim. And he echoes that, doesn't he, in the final words of the psalm. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. He knows that God is always with him. And if we see this psalm as one in a series, we see that the next psalm, Psalm 122 verse 2, says, "Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem." So we presume that the pilgrim has made it, that God has indeed protected him, and he's made it to Jerusalem. So this is our God as well. So although we can't take every single precaution to protect ourselves or to make sure we don't come to any harm on our journeys, whether they be holidays or whatever we're doing, we can trust God to protect us. Because he's the same God now as he was then. He's still a powerful God. He's still a God who is constantly attentive to us and to our needs. And there are times, and I know some of you have told me stories of when, you know, you're clear that God has protected you in a miraculous way. God's amazing power is still being used to protect his people today. There's a story that has come through recently from Barnabas Fund, and I suggest that you might want to look it up on the Barnabas Fund website. I'm not going to read it out because some details are really rather distressing, and as we've got children in the congregation today, I decided not to read it out. But it concerns Nigeria and a situation where some Christians were protected miraculously by God. So if you go on the Barnabas Fund website, you'll be able to read it for yourself. I really suggest you do. It's an amazing story and great testimony of how God still can miraculously protect his people. But there is a big but, isn't there? You might say, and you'd be perfectly justified in doing so, well, what about those situations where God hasn't protected his people? What about that time when I was seriously injured? Why was God not looking out for me then? Thinking to what I just said just now, when lots of Christians died in those terrorist attacks on their churches in Sri Lanka, why was God not protecting them at that point? Was he not attentive? Was he distracted at that point? Does he not have the power to do it? Of course he does. Psalm 121, God's word, tells us that neither of those things can be true. He has the power and he's always watching. I can't give a definitive answer to that question except to say that we know that somehow in God's just and righteous purposes, he knows when is the right time to intervene. But we need to understand that God's protection isn't just about what we experience in this life. God's protection goes on for eternity. See, we may think that the things that might cause us physical harm are the things that we should be scared of the most. And it's understandable, isn't it, that we might think that way. None of us likes being in pain. None of us likes the idea of being parted from our loved ones. None of us likes the idea of being incapacitated in some way so that we can't live the life that we're used to living. It's natural that we should be really afraid of these things that harm us. But the Bible tells us that that's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is the harm that we do to ourselves through our sin. And that's not just because sin can often make a real mess of our lives. That means that because we're not living the good life that God intended for us, and all kinds of things that we bring down upon ourselves. But ultimately it's because sin has an eternal consequence. The Bible tells us that when we stand before God, we have to give an account of our sin. And as we have all sinned and fall short of God's glory, the just punishment for that is death, and to be cut off from God's presence forever. So how does God protect us from that? Well, he protects us through Jesus, doesn't he? Remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that's really important in the context of God's protection, because it means that because our sins are forgiven, we can stand before God on that great day, and we can be protected from his judgment. Because when he looks at us, he doesn't look at us, he sees Jesus, in whom we are trusting. So look at our sin, tells us we'll be washed as white as snow, even though our sins were as scarlet, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, taking the punishment that should have been ours, and dying in our place, because of his great love for us. And that means that when Christians die suddenly, or terrible things happen to them in terrorist attacks, or if all the other kinds of tricky stuff that happens to us, then we know that ultimately our eternal life is safe with God, that he protects us through eternity, and we will always be with him. So that's how we understand God's complete protection of us. Doesn't mean he doesn't protect us in this life. He does in all kinds of ways. I bet most of us probably don't even know how many times God has intervened to protect us or stop us from coming to harm. We probably haven't even got any idea of how often he's done it for us. Because he loves us, and he wants to look after us. But sometimes, as we said, he chooses, for whatever reason, not to protect us in this life. But he will always protect us throughout eternity. And because we've got God's presence with us at all times, even when we do go through difficulties, we know that he's with us, and that he's helping us, and he's strengthening us. That he's watching over our coming and our going. We sang that, didn't we, in that wonderful hymn we sung towards the beginning of the service, how firm a foundation. Since Jesus is with you, do not be afraid. Since he is your Lord, you need not be dismayed. He strengthens you, guards you, and helps you to stand, upheld by his righteous, omnipotent hand. I pray that those truths written there, and the truths of Psalm 121, will encourage you this week, and help you to trust even more deeply in the great God who loves us. Amen.